Universität Hamburg.
Thank you. As mentioned, my name is Michael Jackson with Adaptive Computing. Those that knew us a few years ago, formerly our company was called Cluster Resources. What I want to talk today is about really accelerating your access to next generation HPC. What does this mean? It means you're constantly bringing on new technologies into your compute environment, whether that be GPUs, whether that be a new operating system, whether that be high memory systems. And we try to solve the problem from a workload management perspective to be able to help you take advantage of these new technologies faster, with less effort, and to make it seamless within your environment. So just a little bit about us, who uses our technology. From a benchmark of last year of November that was at Supercomputing, 50% of the top 10 systems used our software, MOAB, to be able to be the workload management system across their environment. Many different industries, as you're able to see up here, across basically any vertical. So it's not one specific space. So what are we known for? Again, typically the leadership class systems. We were deployed across the first petaflop system, which was the Roadrunner system. Also across the first two petaflop system, which is the Jaguar system. And then we are working towards much larger systems as described on the screen. And what are the new announcements that we're doing today is adaptive computing with our MOAB product can now handle high throughput computing, a very vast increase of job throughput than we had previously. So that means our product is even more ideal now for some of the life sciences, some of those that are doing design work for chip manufacturing, and other such areas that need high throughput computing. As you can see, lab tested, and of course this is under certain conditions, well past 500,000 jobs being handled simultaneously. So what is MOAB? MOAB, in essence, is a decision maker in your cluster, or in your grid, or in your cloud, that helps to make the decisions of where to move workloads, how to repurpose the environment if it needs to be repurposed to meet those workload needs, and ultimately how to deliver the SLAs and other objectives that you have for the use of your system. Acts as a brain and orchestrates things within your environment to behave that way. So as part of this evolution, what I wanted to kind of walk through is at first, most people start out with a single homogeneous system. And this is typically for those that are in the first 3 years of evolution, where they believe that a single purpose, single flavor system is going to meet all of their needs. But typically what we find out is that's not enough, and they begin to get into some of the other generations. But in that first generation, what is our value? We've really tried to get on the 90 to 99% utilization. If you are getting below 90% utilization, please come talk to us, because we will give that to you as a guarantee, as long as you have at least enough workload and you are not choosing to overconstrain your environment. So if you have below 90%, we will definitely get you to 90 to 99 or higher. We've had some great experiences last supercomputing. We had someone that had 17,000 servers, and we had them at 97% utilization, consistently and commonly hitting up to 99. So both utilization and rich policies. So what are one of the new things that we're announcing in that Gen 1? Again, was simply going to the high throughput computing, where we have improved our job submission rate by 10 to 100x, a very, very substantial amount to be able to handle high throughput computing. And with that, also a very good response rate from the end user commands and control of the system. The next element of the evolution of HPC that we see our customers get into is heterogeneous environments, where they're trying to get application-optimized resources. You might need resources that have high memory. You might have resources that need the GPUs. You might need resources that have licenses locked to specific servers. So here, we're able to help you have a mix of resources that are optimized to your applications while giving the experience as nothing more than a simple job submission. So with job templates and other things, we can do all of that mapping so your end users don't have to understand these preferences, and we'll dynamically move workloads to the right spot at the right time and help you get high efficiencies. At the show, we were announcing new with our 6.1 release is advanced GPU scheduling, of where we're now doing the auto discovery. You don't have to do a manual configuration. We now begin to pick up things such as GPU temperature, GPU memory. We're able to allocate resources or workloads down to specific GPUs. We can make it exclusive. We just have a lot richer GPU management, both with our Torque product, which is open source, as well as our commercial Moab product, which sits on top. The other thing, as described, is we have the rich ability to handle heterogeneous resource requirements and then to be able to give you a single pane of glass for the end user and the administrator to submit and manage from a single point. Now, as that evolution continues, we see people beginning to get into mixed environments that need to change or need to be repurposed. So how might a system need to be repurposed to meet your needs? One, if, for example, in the ramp-up phase of your cluster, you don't happen to be using all of the resources as you haven't moved all your apps over, you would want to be able to have the ability for it to dynamically power down those resources which are underutilized. We had one particular site that did this and actually paid for our product in the first month just from energy savings. We had others that introduced this in the mid-life cycle, for example, the University of Birmingham, and they were able to achieve at least 10% energy savings, which is a very substantial amount, over the life of the system. And that was because they inserted it at the middle of the life. Beyond energy, we're also allowing people to bring in multiple operating systems. Cynet, a university in Canada, had 8 different Linux operating systems that they wanted to be able to manage because not all of their apps were certified with the latest Red Hat or the latest CentOS or the latest SUSE. So they were able to keep the applications on the OSs that they were certified for, and then instead of having dedicated resources, they were able to have it all shared in a central area, and this cluster would dynamically become what it needed to be for the workloads that were being submitted. And of course, you can also introduce Windows into that. So if you have some of your desktop engineering or other types of applications that are typically done on the desktop, you want to introduce them into the clusters, you can interlace that with Windows and Linux in the same space, as well as not only having OS and energy-based repurposing, but you can also do this so it is dynamically taking actions upon failure conditions to be able to help do auto failure recovery or failure response with the adaptive HPC capabilities. And again, the purpose, you're adapting or repurposing the infrastructure to meet your organizational objectives. So here was the Cynet example. It wasn't a small test system. This was 4,000 servers. Very, very high utilization. And in fact, they started out with the energy optimization paid for Moab in the first month. But by the time we got it going, they were up in the high 95 or 90, high 90s in terms of utilization. So they started getting less out of the energy optimization because it was a different part of the life cycle, and then focused the adaptive HPC elements around the multi-OS provisioning. Because the ideal is to make it app-optimized management of your cluster as opposed to having siloed or fractured environments. Here is just a representation of the ability to interlace multiple types of operating systems into the same space. And then what is the next generation after this? Certainly from an interconnectivity, you have local area grids, single location joined together. You have wide area grids across multiple locations. And then the last mile is this last set right here, where we realize you're not just trying to get an application's results. The results of that application are ultimately helping you to deliver a service or a product. And so we have built into Moab the ability to do rich workflows so that it takes one step, helps it connect automatically into the next step of the process, so you can design end-to-end processes to help you get from your beginning concept to the most fully automated end process and remove out any manual delays or manual interactions. The other thing from an organization is we help unify HPC and data center, as we both do data center cloud with virtualization, with physical provisioning, as well as HPC. And one thing also at the show is we were able to announce that, for example, Penguin Computing's cloud computing environment now uses Moab for their public cloud. So that's one additional instance of using our technology in this richest Generation 4. So whether it be the Gen 1, where you're trying to get the most utilization out of a single system, picking up heterogeneity, the ability then to repurpose your environment to become what is needed for your workloads, or this interconnectivity that works in workflows or access into cloud or data center, that's our focus, is to meet your organizational needs as opposed to just looking at the problems on a single system. Any questions?
Thank Pam.
Thank you for the presentation. It's quite general, and there's a lot of successful cases. So I would like to ask, do you have one or two, can you give one or two the worst cases that you ever encountered in your service that might help you to think differently?
So are those one or two of the most challenging customer situations? Or one or two, most difficult customer situations?
Is that in your service, when you are using a Moab, a customer using Moab, they might complain a lot.
Where they might complain a lot, or they might have a, do you mean they might have a lot of needs, or they might complain after they have it?
Well, they complain that not to have it, but it's still using it.
Understood. Yeah. I have the question. So they had the most pain that required them to be able to have this class of solution in place. Okay. I believe the Cynet is a very good example of, if they did not have our technology, they would have eight separate clusters trying to manage their environment. That's eight separate submissions. That's users trying to learn which is the right system, having to know which application requires which operating system. They would have had to pay probably a 20 to 30% higher energy bill. And what they did uniquely is they actually, and this is a great idea for anybody building out a system, they went to their hardware vendor and said, I want you to sell me the energy to your cluster as well. And I want you to give me a total ROI end-to-end of the life of my system. And what that forced the hardware OEM to do, in this case it happened to be primarily IBM, is they had to bring in the highest energy optimization into that mix. And so they had to bring their best solution, bid it out, and of course that's why they wanted to have the energy optimization, took it from six clusters or eight clusters down to one, created many user experiences down to one user experience. So I think that was a great example. Of course, cloud is even harder, but I'll keep it to the HPC.
Frank Parent?
Given the fact that your software, the working environment, has to get access to a number or too many resources to be able to do what it does, did you experience any tries to attack the system, to use your source, your components, your brain, to either generate malfunction or to misuse system resources? And in case something like this didn't happen so far, how do you protect yourself against it and your customer?
Okay, so the good question, and I'm going to start with a slightly different angle to that question, which is, who are the first people that try to cheat the system? It's the users. So the first thing that we had to do was build in the capabilities and the controls that allowed the administrators to help the users not lie, help the users not misrepresent things, and then even if the user thought they knew what they wanted, they would have the ability to override and steer things in a different way. So for example, customers, in terms of estimating their start time or their how long a job should run. So we allow end users to be able to submit that, but then we allow administrators to come in and override that. And we basically at our organization had war games where we had users and administrators battling it out, and we would try to give rewards to the users if they could cheat the system. And so we've tried to run, instead of just putting in features and hoping that it worked, We have tried to have some of those live battle sessions to be able to see if we could cheat the system and try to empower the administrators always to be in control. So that's one side of it, is empowering through deep use cases of how the administrators can help guide things even if users tried to game the system. The next question has to do with people being able to come in with Moab, which is a very powerful tool, and being able to override the environment. First of all, Moab is only physically located at the management server. So that allows you to put some additional security around it than it would be if it had agents that were out at each of the lower levels. So we have one layer of security there. We have had no, to date, penetration of the security that we have had. We have had outside security reviews of where outside firms have tried to identify where we had security gaps that we should fill in, and so it's part of it is that discipline with working with outside consultants to try to identify that. Others, the deepest security environment we have is the National Nuclear Security Agency in the United States, and so we had to meet their protocols and their requirements, and then hopefully we learn from that and apply those benefits of security to the rest of our customers.
Thank you, Micah.